This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
The FDA approves the first COVID-19 vaccine for use in adolescents. Plus, a ransomware attack that shut down the nation's largest fuel line is raising concerns about how we protect our energy infrastructure.
It says that everybody's got to be paying more attention from not only government leaders, but corporate leaders.
And after a pandemic timeout, pickup basketball is back. It's Monday, May 10th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that move the world today. U.S. health regulators have cleared Pfizer and BioNTech's COVID-19 vaccine for use in children ages 12 and above. The company said earlier this year that their vaccine was 100% effective in a study of more than 2,200 children. More than 34% of people in the U.S. have been fully vaccinated, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Health experts say children will need to be inoculated for protection and to reach herd immunity. The World Health Organization has declared a coronavirus strain first found in India as a variant of concern. Officials say preliminary studies show the variant may be more transmissible than other strains. Scientists around the world are studying the variant's role in a surge of cases in India that have overwhelmed its hospitals. The country reported more than 366,000 new Delhi cases today. The WHO says the variant has spread to more than 30 countries, including the U.S., the U.K., France, and Japan. Israel's military says it's begun airstrikes in Palestinian territory after militants in Gaza fired a barrage of rockets at Jerusalem for the first time since 2014. That's raising fears of a broader conflict after days of clashes between Palestinians and Israeli police in the contested city. For more on this developing story, check back on our website, WSJ.com. The Pentagon is considering whether to cancel the JEDI cloud computing project as it faces criticism from lawmakers and continued litigation from Amazon. A contract for the project, valued at up to $10 billion over 10 years, was awarded to Microsoft in 2019, and Amazon has been contesting it since then. Last month, a federal judge refused the Pentagon's motion to dismiss Amazon's case. Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen Hicks said a few days after the ruling that the department would review the project. And attorneys general from 44 states and territories, including New York and California, are sounding off about Facebook's plan to create a version of Instagram for children under 13. In a letter to Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, the officials expressed concerns about privacy and the effect of social media on children. Facebook says it will work with regulators and lawmakers as its plans evolve. Coming up after the break, the latest on the ransomware attack that led to the shutdown of America's largest fuel pipeline. What it means for the security of our infrastructure and energy markets.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
As we reported this morning, a ransomware attack led to the shutdown of America's largest fuel pipeline. The 5,500-mile Colonial Pipeline transports 45% of the fuel consumed on the East Coast, according to the pipeline's operator. The full impact of the attack is still unclear, but it's already raising concerns about the vulnerability of U.S. energy infrastructure. Joining me now from Houston is Wall Street Journal energy reporter Colin Eaton. Hi, Colin. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Colin, bring us up to speed. What do we know at this point about the attack and how it was carried out?
Well, the FBI confirmed that a group called DarkSide, a hacking group, they're the ones that carried out this ransomware attack on the Colonial Pipeline. They're believed to be an organized hacking group out of Eastern Europe in the former Soviet bloc, and they have this new, relatively new strand of ransomware that they've been using to target victims and demand ransoms that are typically between $200,000 and $2 million. And they're new, and they've sort of quickly grown. They've established this reputation as being organized. They have this code of honor that prevents them allegedly from targeting schools and hospitals and groups like that. So they're a little bit different, but they're believed to be behind this attack that's led the Colonial Pipeline to shut down for the next several days.
And we should mention that DarkSide hasn't directly mentioned the attack on Colonial Pipeline, but it posted a statement on the dark web claiming its goal was solely to make money. It also denied it was connected to a foreign government. So Colin, what about Colonial? What have they said about this attack?
So the latest from Colonial Pipeline, they put out a statement that they're basically hoping to return to service by the end of this week. They've already put back online some of the lateral segments that move fuel to various delivery points, and they're working with various federal agencies. The Department of Energy is leading the effort to sort of make sure that they do everything right. And Colonial noted it's going to take time.
How is the Biden administration responding? You pointed out some vulnerabilities that experts have brought up. What has been the response?
The FBI and Critical Infrastructure Cybersecurity Administration they're investigating the attack, and Biden administration itself has issued an emergency waiver for truck drivers, basically giving them more flexible hours for delivering fuel across the 17 states that are affected here. And that includes actually Texas. Texas has plenty of fuel right now because we typically send fuel to the East Coast. Well, now it's going to be going by truck. There's also speculation that the Biden administration might also loosen up some rules that limit vessel flow to the East Coast. And so if those rules are suspended, then you might see more tankers heading to the East Coast with U.S. fuel. Now, all of that to say is that these trucks and barges, it's not a replacement for the Colonial Pipeline, though it can relieve some pressure there. So the Biden administration has definitely expressed concern about, you know, possible fuel shortages in states like Georgia, Tennessee, North Carolina. Analysts have said that's where we could see fuel shortages pop up in the coming days if this thing lasts a while, and now it's expected to last at least to the end of the week.
Right, and to that point, what has the impact been so far on the energy markets, and what are you hearing from market watchers about the potential impact on fuel prices here?
The market response has been relatively muted, especially in the wake of these announcements from Colonial that they're trying to get things back on. But gasoline futures, for example, are basically flat today. They had initially spiked up about 4% yesterday when markets opened in the evening, but it's been relatively quiet. I think what market watchers are saying is that as this drags out, we could see more of a price reaction because of fuel supplies are still ample in some areas of the country that might be affected, such as New England, the Mid-Atlantic. It's really places like in the Southeast, Georgia, the Carolinas, Tennessee, that are going to really see this, maybe northern parts of Florida, that are really going to see this impact and possible shortfalls of fuel at certain points, and certainly higher regional prices, and that could lift prices overall over the next few days.
So let's talk about the broader picture here. What are the implications of cyber attacks like these on energy infrastructure? Why is this sector a big target for hackers?
Well, it's because energy, it's a big target and it's a vulnerable one. Colonial Pipeline isn't the first pipeline to get hit by one of these cyber attacks. There's about 2.5 million miles of pipeline, and you've got hundreds of thousands of these devices, from programmable logic controllers that control valves and sensors and leak detection systems. These devices do it all, and they're this sort of layer of computers underneath what got attacked in Colonial's case, which was sort of the IT systems. So Colonial had to shut down their pipeline because they were worried that the infection could spread to this. There's no evidence that it has spread, but they're worried that it would spread to this deeper layer of controls. And those controls, typically across the industry, vast majority of energy companies have underinvested in these kind of the protections that would secure these devices. And so you're left with a very vulnerable underbelly of devices that can be manipulated to make things go wrong with a pipeline. And the consequences for allowing these attacks to happen are pretty dire.
It sounds like there's a lot on the line when we talk about trying to protect energy infrastructure.
In general, you talk to cyber experts, and they are generally skeptical that there's going to be a doomsday event that takes down the entire grid. There are a lot of different protections against that. But I think what it says is that ransomware is rampant. It's become increasingly rampant following the pandemic, and that it can affect a vast pipeline system by just infecting the IT systems of the operator is remarkable. And it says that everybody's got to be paying more attention, from not only government leaders, but corporate leaders. Cybersecurity analysts that I've spoken to hope that this event serves as a wake-up call to the fact that these energy systems are vulnerable. And not that they're unprotected, but they are vulnerable. And a ransomware that is presumably designed just to make money was able to force a company to shut down their entire pipeline for fear that that the infection could spread there. It says a lot about, you know, the kind of investment that's needed to secure these systems.
That's Wall Street Journal energy reporter Colin Eaton. Colin, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And finally, now that many Americans are getting vaccinated, the country is entering a new stage of the pandemic, the return of pre-COVID life. And for some, that includes returning to playground courts for a game of pickup basketball. But while people are excited to shoot hoops again, our sports reporter Ben Cohen says the players he's spoken with say the fun also comes with a bit of pain.
All of them had the same response when I asked them how it felt to be back on the court. I mean, all of them said it was wonderful and it was exhilarating and it felt like pre-pandemic life. But every one of them almost immediately said, also, it was terrible. I was sore for the next few weeks. I was just completely exhausted. I felt like I wanted to throw up halfway through. So I do think, getting back into exercise is going to be tough for a lot of people who are not used to working out this way over the past year.
And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.